I think they like you, Steve.
Guess what day it is.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
It is a big news Wednesday, not in a breaking news kind of way, because, you know, breaking news isn't really breaking news anymore, it's just news. The Austin bombing suspect is dead, and we know who's going to run for governor in other places. Why don't we jump into it? Here's your top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, the Austin bombing suspect died after detonating an explosive in his own vehicle. Jim Ryan from ABC News later, he's based in Texas, can talk about it. Local police and SWAT had taken the signature from an unexploded device and been able to track him and got a search warrant, found him at a motel. We're waiting for SWAT and other backup. Other SWAT members were already on the scene when he started to roll on an interior road, an access road. Police started to follow. He stopped the car. As they approached the car, he set off the bomb, killing himself. One SWAT member hurt, not life-threatening as far as we know. But the important news is he's dead. Now, what we don't know. We don't know if there's any more bombs that were sent out. Mm-hmm. We don't know if there are more packages that are already in the system somewhere in the city. So residents in Austin are being asked to be very careful until they can find out if he worked with somebody else who's still out there or if there's unexploded bombs.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. We don't need a quack here because it's way too serious. But this is actually good news. The primary's over.
Yes.
Voter turnout, not bad. Voting spike between 3 and 7. I know 31% shouldn't be not bad, but 31% is 12% higher than it was in 2014 and 50% higher than it was in Cook County. So thank you to everybody who went out and voted.
I think it's great. I'm glad that everybody went out and voted. When I went to vote, there was not a line, and I asked one of the judges, and she said in the morning, at least just at my polling place in the city, she said it was packed.
Yeah, we never had packed. We're out in the burbs. We never had packed. We had spurts.
Oh, spurts, yeah.
Talked to my people. They said we had spurts.
Hmm. Yeah, I went at lunchtime. It was pretty crowded. It's pretty steady.
Yeah, they said ours was about the same. I went about 3 o'clock, and they I was the 249th voter.
Well, that was about the same as last time?
Yeah, they said the turnout seemed to be about the same pace.
Do some quick math for me.
Yep.
Because I was up late.
Okay.
31%, 19%.
Okay.
Is that a 70%? No, that's not 70. That's 57% increase in voter turnout.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, do that for me.
Let me get the calculator out.
Yeah.
Thought I was going to be able to do this in my head.
The 16% to 31%, that's almost double in Cook County.
Yes.
But it's 31% Cook County, 31% statewide. Those are the early estimates. Now, quack. Governor Rauner narrowly beat Jeannie Ives. That's probably one of your bigger stories from last night, that Jeannie Ives managed to get 350,000 votes or something in that neighborhood. But 151.5, 48.5, right in that neighborhood. Pritzker in a runaway over Daniel Biss and Chris Kennedy. So money up, boys. Make it rain. Pritzker versus Rauner. And a campaign for governor that is expected to cost as much as $300 million.
The most expensive in the country's history.
Yeah, no doubt.
Gubernatorial
races. You know,
races.
Lincoln, when he ran for president, spent $4.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, $4.
In one handle.
$4 in a log.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And a log.
next. Against AIDS advice, President Trump congratulated Vladimir Putin on Tuesday for his victory in the Russian presidential election. Multiple sources indicate that he was handed a note that said, do not congratulate Vladimir Putin. So what did he do? He congratulated Vladimir Putin.
Sure he did.
Why is it a bad thing? Because he's president of the United States, and you shouldn't congratulate Vladimir Putin on what the rest of the world believes to be a sham election. It is what it is. Another day in Trumplandia. Next. Apple's new Michigan Avenue flagship store is up for sale. I don't entirely understand this. I thought Apple owned the real estate, but apparently they don't. Yeah, they're leasing the store. So they're selling the store. I originally thought they were talking about the one down the street here, the old Apple store.
That did get sold.
And that was already gone.
Yes. Yeah.
So it turns out it is the new building.
That's within
that I'm pointing. For those of you who aren't watching video now, I'm pointing.
It's over your left shoulder.
Behind me. Apple's new store up for sale, Chicago-based Walton Street Capital, has hired brokers to put the 20,000-square-foot store on the market for sale. Now, I'm an Android man, as you know, so I've not been in the Apple store. Is it incredible?
It's nice.
Yeah, very nice. I've been in a few times.
For you Apple people, are you all giddy?
I was when it first opened.
Well, I would be less than giddy if they now turn around and sell it and close it. I don't think that's on
that would be
odd.
They're not going to close it.
They won't close it, will they?
No. They're going to just lease it back from whoever buys it.
Because I love working just a few feet away from an Apple. Oh, wait a minute. We won't.
Wait a minute.
We'll still be only a few feet. It'll be a few more feet.
We have to go over the river now to get to it.
Dean relies on us to buy the Stars homes. Maybe we could buy the Apple store.
Well, it's $175
million. Yeah.
It's a little more than I have on me right now.
Chip in?
That's a big biz story from the morning. Are we missing anything here, Mr. Business?
No, you got it. It's cheaper to lease the property than it is to own it, apparently, for Apple. So.
Okay. Quack.
Quack.
And Cook County voters appear to say yes to legalizing recreational marijuana. This is something that probably should have been done a long time ago. But if it gets done now and it's properly regulated and taxed, it's a revenue stream. And it's a release of some pressure on law enforcement officials to track down something that maybe they don't need to be spending so much time on.
Yes.
Because we got plenty of other stuff to chase. Mm-hmm. That's your top six.
That's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Pritzker is Mike Madigan's hand-picked candidate.
Oh, yeah.
And if he is elected, he will give total control of our state over to the machine. If that happens, turn out the lights.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Bright, upbeat, hopeful speech.
You know what's interesting?
It sounded like a Mel Brooks bit.
Yeah.
Oh!
It's interesting. When I heard, when you start to hear the concession speeches ahead of the victory speeches, you know, so I'm listening to Chris Kennedy last night, and after just fist, and they all, but every candidate does this, then it becomes, well, I'm throwing my support behind J.B. Pritzker.
Yeah, but Kennedy's speech was great.
It was very good. It was very good. But then Jeannie Ives as well. Hard fought. And then she said, you know, she's very proud of what she did and she will support. Of course, they're all going to, every candidate will support their party. It's just after weeks and weeks of negative, within a matter of a few minutes, just to go, all right, we're back on board.
We're pals.
Same
now.
Team. Yeah.
Somehow I managed to miss Jeannie Ives' speech and I was up way late. Did she say anything remarkable?
No, she said it was hard fought. She said she was very happy, very proud with what she did. You know, Jackie Bang was covering her headquarters, and she was with her most of the evening. And here's what's interesting is what Jeannie Ives did. Most of these, Steve, when we cover these, the candidate doesn't come out until the very end or until they're either going to concede or they're going to accept, you know, and claim victory. Jeannie Ives was out there pretty much from the start of the evening talking with and mingling with everybody and doing one-on-one interviews with all of the TV stations. So it was kind of interesting.
Listen, regardless of how much I disagree with their message, she had no shortage of energy.
Right.
And no shortage of fight. I'm only going to mention this story once because it doesn't deserve to be mentioned more than once. But this gentleman, and I say gentleman in only the terms that he is a man, is no reflection of the Republican Party traditionally or even the screwed up current Republican Party. He won the congressional primary last night because nobody else ran against him. And he is an admitted bigot and Nazi. His name is Arthur Jones. And the third, he won the nomination because, again, nobody ran against him. He had tried to win five previous times. He is a Holocaust denier and described as a Nazi, not just by the Illinois Republican Party, but by the Nazi Party. And his win means nothing other, again, than the fact that he had no opponent. He's 70 years old. Along with seeking the nomination five different times, he's tried many different ways to get in the headlines. Mm-hmm.
And he seemed pretty gleeful in the glitch that allowed him to win last night. His quote is, "Even if only myself and my wife voted for me, I'd win because the Republican Party screwed up big time." The Illinois Republican Party sought to distance themselves from this gentleman. Robocalls urging voters to stop Illinois Nazis. Mr. Jones received 3 robocalls himself. He's not a real Republican, said Tim Schneider, the party chair, and on and on and on. The obvious message here is, you know, if you're a straight party voter, and come November, you have no interest in voting for Dan Lipinski, who will obviously win this in a runaway. Mm-hmm. Don't vote for that candidate. Just just don't vote. I mean, don't give him the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really unfortunate piece of last night's developments in what otherwise was, you know, good news, 31%.
Yeah. I was surprised Marie Newman, it was a close race, but I'm surprised it wasn't closer.
I don't know how much closer could it be.
I don't know. I thought she would unseat him. Quite honestly,
She is the more liberal of the two of them, and you know, and Lipinski is the more conservative of the two Democrats. The good news is we can take a little break now, right?
We'll see.
I mean, you would hope that we can get a little break.
Take a break for a day or two.
Kick back, take off your shoes, enjoy the spring. You know what I'm talking about. But thank you again for going out and voting, if in fact you did. And if you didn't and your candidate didn't win, once again, it's a message on why voting's so important. It's 626. Coming up on this show, Elise Glink, we got to talk a little bit of real estate here. Are we ever going to have enough houses to sell? Or are the prices going to continue to be through the roof? Pat Brady and Kerry Lester are both going to be on later to talk a little more about the primary. Dean Richards after 8. Jim Ryan on the Austin bombing suspect dead. Blew himself up last night when police closed in. And later on, Ro Khan. I don't know if you're familiar with Ro's work, but he's a successful afternoon drive radio host on the station. We like Ro. At 626, let's do this. We'll come back with the headlines. But first, Joe's going to push a button, and I'm going to do something I have to do here, and then we'll come back and we'll be friends. On 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money!
Sponsored by Grandview Homes. Elise Glink joins us in just a moment. Again, if you're just waking up, the Austin bomber is dead. Police are confident they have their suspect. He left a motel they had tracked him to after an unexploded device left a signature they could plan on and track. And stopped the car when he realized police were coming after him. As police approached, he set off a bomb, killing himself, injuring one SWAT team member. But he is now dead. The concern continues to be, are there any unexploded devices in Austin still in the delivery chain? And are there somebody else, or is there somebody else that worked with him? More on this later. Jim Ryan from ABC News will join us. Elise Glink joins us now. Hi. Hello.
It's Elise Glink.
Hey, how are you? You didn't hear me say hi.
Not the guy from ABC News.
No. Good morning and welcome. And we were just talking about the Apple store on Michigan Avenue being up for sale. It's $175 million. I'm going to be honest with you. We don't have that.
Oh, so you won't be bidding against me.
No. But is this as simple as they get a better deal if it's sold to somebody else? Well, I don't quite get why this happens.
You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure why, what the thinking is behind it. It's not as though Apple needs the cash, right?
Right.
But there are these kinds of commercial real estate deals are often layered and complicated, and especially in a site like where the Apple store is, which has, I'm not sure where that parcel begins and ends, but you've got, you know, a building, a plaza. You've got, you know, waterfront with the river and Tribune. And so, you know, how each of those entities or what passed for those entities takes part in that, it's a little bit unclear.
Let me jump something else here. I've had 2 bathrooms redone in my house, the third still to come. And there is a big home improvement shows all over the country all the time, many that come through Chicago. I was handed a list, the top 10 bathroom innovations you'd like to see in the next 10 years. Tell me if these appeal to you. And Andre, jump in on this. Everybody else in the room, jump in on this. A face recognition system which automatically adjusts water temp and pressure to your personalized settings.
Okay, I don't want anyone seeing my face when I first wake up, though.
How about adjusting lighting?
I just couldn't say
lighting
the same
too.
Right, Elise?
So you'd walk in, you'd look in the mirror.
Oh, God.
And as you look in the mirror, the water temperature would be perfect.
I like that.
So does it... Yeah, does it have that aging thing where as you, you know, you wake up some mornings after you've had like one too many bottles of wine that it still recognizes you?
I think the recognition's not the problem. I think it probably needs some, well, you know, some feel-good things. Like it would talk to you. Oh, you're beautiful. Mm-hmm. No, don't talk like that. No, you're beautiful. I like that on you.
That's fine. You don't have wrinkles.
How about this? A hovering drone mirror, which allows you to style the back of your hair with ease.
Okay, that I like.
Noisy.
That's true. Noisy, but
noisy. Noise is your concern with
that's...
a drone flying around your bathroom?
It could double as the bathroom
morning,
fan.
I like it quiet. Oh, yeah.
An in-shower voice. I don't like this already. An in-shower voice device that allows you to add shampoo, toothpaste, and other things to your shopping list when you're running low.
No. Because I don't want anyone talking to me.
Can you imagine it's 4 o'clock in the morning, you jump in the shower, and suddenly somebody's talking to you? I'd start punching.
Don't forget to get toothpaste.
It's just a little overdone, right? This is you know, people in San Francisco and maybe even in our very own 1871 overthinking the morning routine.
This is so Restoration Hardware. An augmented reality simulator that shows how a hairstyle will look on your head and gives you step-by-step instructions on how to do it. Well, this is big for me.
See, that's good.
This would
for
mean
me,
a lot to me.
That's good from the female point of view, and Elise, you probably agree with this too. It's so hard. When you go to get your hair cut and styled, it looks fantastic. And then the next day, it just goes back to, okay, it's 4 in the morning. I have to dry my hair now. It doesn't look as good.
You know, it reminds me of Alexa's. Alexa's got this new, it was new over Christmas, it's called Alexa, I think, Style, and it gives you this kind of 3D image. You turn around, and it then shows you back all the new clothes. It's as if you're, you know, modeling on the runway every day of your life. And that's what this reminds me of.
Well, this is the same thing that they're talking about here with the pep-talking mirror that gives you advice on your outfits based on your personal calendar and what you have to do that day. Mm-hmm. No?
Yeah.
Okay. Three taps for the water. One for hot, one for cold, and one for just right. What are you, the three bears?
Knock three
porridge.
Times.
I like that.
Porridge sold separately.
One for just coffee. Where is the coffee in this whole equation?
Yeah.
Well, how do you decide just right? One for hot, one for cold, one for just right.
This is the same thing about how do you get the water just right in your bathtub. But how many of us take baths in the morning when we're rushing out the door? I don't. So, yeah.
How about a dressing machine that chooses your outfit and dresses you? Now, that's Jetsons.
That's Jetsons.
That's awesome. Okay,
George had
Jetsons,
that, right?
Yeah. A height adjustable.
Somebody goes to work for me.
A height adjustable sink, toilet, and mirror that moves up and down depending on who's using them.
You know what? We were looking at bathroom vanities on Sunday, and that is...
Not you and I, you and your wife.
wife and I, yes. Yeah. Although you and I went last week and looked.
Yeah, we did.
But that's an issue.
My radio husband and I.
Yes.
That's right, Elise. See what I live with?
But my that is an issue. My wife's a little shorter, and to get it to the right height.
I think less tall is what your wife is. She's not shorter.
You're correct.
Yes.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes.
That's not why I wasn't talking about my wife anyway.
A height adjustable sink, toilet, and mirror.
I like that.
What if you have like a motor problem on the toilet and it starts just going flying around your bathroom?
Practical standpoint, really good for people who are infirm or somebody who's in a wheelchair somebody who just doesn't, you know, the knees don't work so well anymore.
Hey, cut it out.
Might be good.
An ambient display which allows you to make a cup of coffee and answer the doorbell while you're in the shower. Okay, here's what I don't understand. You're the only one home. You're in the shower. You're not answering the door.
No.
Unless it's one of those speaker deals where you go, I'm not available right now. Get off my porch.
So I was in Los Angeles last week, and my friends have the Ring, the one that Amazon bought for like $1.5 billion.
Yep.
And so somebody came to the door. We were out to dinner and said, package for you, and they said, just leave it. and you could see him on the phone, and they were talking. He just put it under the bench. And then he called his friend next door and said, I've got a package under my bench. Can you go get it for me? We're out to dinner. And she said, sure. And that all was seamless, thanks to Ring.
Yeah, I think the Ring thing's pretty ingenious, and it was turned down by Shark Tank originally. Good move by them. And the most disturbing one on this top 10 list, a full-body air dryer. You don't want to see somebody while they're twerking in the closet.
True. But then again, have we become that lazy, though? Like, you can't take the towel and just clean your back, you know, dry your back?
I'm not making this up. Dave, you may have seen this as well, because you're a grown man. You know, the air dryers with the super, you know, incredible,
I know where you're going room. With this.
Yep. I don't know.
A guy on a hot summer day in a restaurant sweats through his shirt. He's in the middle of a business meeting or somehow, and he has to go back. You walk into a public bathroom. There's a big dude. Not that being in shape would have changed this. He's got his shirt off. His pants are unbuckled. He's got his shirt off, and he's bent over so he could dry his back. And then he's standing in front of it like he's a stripper dancing for the blow dryer.
No.
I've seen guys do that. It's just...
It's not your house.
No, it's really not.
Okay, that's weird. That is bizarre. Strange.
I don't know. Guys, you know, you always wondered what guys do in a bathroom.
Right?
Now we know.
Yeah, right. We know, too, and unfortunately.
Yeah, and I've said this before. Our bathroom is not a place to mess around. You got a burning barrel of trash. You got some crime in there. You just get in, you hit it, and you get out.
Graffiti.
More of the Lease Glink in just a second. Sponsored by Grandview Home. Stand by.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need.
Pritzker and Rauner for governor. Kwame Raoul wins the Democrats' AG primary. That's big news. Gary McCarthy about to announce his run for mayor any minute now. All of that in the news and politics. And Pat Brady's here. Pat Brady and Carrie Lester later. Pat was up late working on Channel 9 talking about the primary. And we'll get his hot take on what's happening. Talking with our friend Elise Glink, sponsored by Grandview Homes. What's the story in the market, real estate-wise?
Well, it's interesting. The big news, I think, this morning for real estate is that mortgage interest rates have now risen enough that we're seeing people just stop refinancing altogether. So for I don't know how many weeks in a row, we've seen the number of refinancings nationwide kind of compress. And it's pretty low right now, comparatively. And on the same, by the same token, we're not seeing very many people on a relative basis buy. Not as much because of rising interest rates, but because of lack of housing inventory. Not here in Chicago, but everywhere else.
So we have enough homes?
We do. We have enough homes. We actually have enough. We still have, and I hate to say this for us, but we have the largest number of homes that are underwater, meaning that the mortgage is actually worth more than the home itself. The mortgage is higher than the amount of the home. And they're about equal, which we call functionally underwater, because if you tried to sell your house right now, the closing costs would make you bring a check to the closing. So we have more of those houses in Chicago than anywhere else in the country. It's kind of a badge of not honor.
Yeah, no, that's problematic, but I'm sure it'll be fixed by our next governor or the current one. You know, we're not the only state in trouble. I don't know if that makes people feel better that others are suffering, too. But Californians are fleeing the state in their record numbers.
So I was in L.A., as I said last week, and I'll be back in San Francisco in about 2 weeks, and it's really interesting to see what's going on there. People have very high anxiety around housing, and not just from a buying a house standpoint, but also just renting. So in San Francisco and Los Angeles, the prices have gotten so crazy that people, particularly young millennials who have really good jobs in the some sort of digital world and doing something, they're finding that they're getting plenty of job offers in places like Denver, even in Chicago, where the cost of living is relatively low compared to L.A. or San Francisco, and in other places around the country, and they're starting to move out. And what's interesting about that on a larger scale is about 7 or 8 years ago, Silicon Valley went to places like Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia, and they started to push out trying to replace things like, you know, coal or natural gas or other kinds of jobs that were shrinking in those areas, think steel production in the Midwest, right? And they're trying to bring other jobs over, retrain people, and get them up and running. And so what you're seeing is Amazon building these huge, massive service centers all over the country. You're seeing Google push out with server farms in other places, and these jobs are kind of coming to places where you wouldn't have normally seen them. And that's actually a really good sign for the future economy.
The gray flight from California, which is scaring people there because the older folks have more money and therefore it's a bigger tax base, summarized this way, and what you're just talking about, it makes total sense. A guy named Dave Sensor, he's 65. He goes, I'm moving to Nevada. He said, rents here are crazy. If you find a place, they're going to tax you to death. He said, in Nevada, they don't have a state income tax, and every little bit helps. So good news, Elise.
Become popular, too.
Good news, Elise. Mm-hmm. California's messed up, too.
Yeah, I feel better.
Andre.
Elise, we're going to have a new county assessor, or the old assessor is on his way out. Do you see a mass exodus of people filing either new assessments, asking for new assessments, basically, a reevaluation of their property? How do you think that's all going to play out in Cook County now?
I hope it gets more fair. It's really unfair the way it's done today. And it does feel as though the way that people fight their property taxes, the way that the, you know, reversals are given and who they're given to, it feels almost like the fix is in. I know that's shocking for Chicago, mm-hmm. Cook County, and Illinois, but I do hope that it becomes a little bit more fair and a little bit more well thought out. And it's complicated because, of course, in Illinois and in Cook County particularly, since the recession, or I should say the depression, the Great Depression, we've had kind of a messed up property tax system, and we pay in arrears, and most of the country doesn't do that. But it's also because we had that year where most people couldn't pay, like 85 years ago. What that's done is it's sort of put in a system that really just could be more fair to a lot of different quadrants of the city. And even within the city, there are people who are wealthier and have more expensive homes tend to get a bigger break than people who are less wealthy. And I'd really love to see that shake out.
Couldn't be less fair.
Your newsletter this week had a great article about that, finding out how you qualify for an assessment rollover if you're selling and then buying a new property.
Yeah, it's interesting. In some states, California being one of them, we are not one of them, I don't think. When you go to sell, they're very concerned about, like, the gentleman that you quoted from California moving to Nevada. You know, they're very worried that when you buy another house in California, you've got a fixed kind of property tax to the new property price, and property prices have skyrocketed there. And so seniors are getting displaced if they try to move or you know, get to a smaller place. And so what some states are now doing is to try and protect their seniors and keep them aging in place. They're putting in tax, really interesting property tax rollover bills, which allow seniors to keep the same property tax that they've been paying even in another property. That might be something worth thinking about here in Illinois.
It's Elise Glink, thinkglink.com. Thank you as always. Now you can get on with your day.
Thank you. See you soon.
All right. See you. Bye. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. This won't take long. Joe.
Colorado wins tonight 5-1.
That was your Blackhawks replay after another disappointing night for the Blackhawks, winding down this season until we win the Cup next year. News next on 720 WGN.
This campaign is not just about the failed policies of a failed governor who thinks that lifting up the people of Illinois is a government expense rather than an investment in the future. No, this campaign is about a fight for economic security, about jobs and wages, health care, education, and human services for working families in Illinois.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I have two fine taxpaying residents in the state of Illinois here, Pat Brady and Carrie Lester. Pat, let me say you did a fine job on Channel 9 last night.
Thank you. It was fun. Ben Bradley did a great job. Micah, Cliff, it was really fun. Good crew.
And Carrie Lester's here, who has written about state politics longer than anyone should have. And apparently she has served her time. And she's now off writing successful books. Your book is called what again?
Oh, Know My Place.
And where do we get Know My Place?
Amazon, like anything else.
Premise quickly is?
Sexual harassment in Illinois government and politics.
Plenty of it, too much of it, and it needs to end. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me ask you first, Pat. What does the Republican Party take out of last night?
Well, the party, obviously, the vote was so divided, there's some division. But what the governor needs to do, and I think he will do, is reach out to the people that didn't vote for him, explain why he's a better alternative than the Democrat, and do that. And he'll do that over the next couple of weeks. The Democratic Governor Association already has an ad out this morning banging on Governor Rauner, but that's what we need to do in the short term, and I think he'll do it.
Would either party, Carrie Lester, be smart enough to give voters a break and get off this for a while, or are they just going to continue to pound it all summer?
No, they're going to continue to pound it as long as they have the money to do so.
Right, and there's no shortage of cash here?
Not in Illinois. I mean, that's the first thing you're hearing when you started to see that, you know, the AP called the race for Pritzker really early, like 8:25 in the evening, and then Rauner was much, much later. It was after 11, right?
Well, it was over at 9:30, but there were problems in DuPage County.
For the second election in a row, I would want to get back to what a disaster that kind of is. But, you know, it's just this billionaire-billionaire race.
There is supposedly $300 million between them that they may spend on this for a job that pays $200,000, and you'll take grief every single day. Should be concerned about the psychology of these two people that they want this gig?
Probably anybody that wants to be governor of the state you wonder about. But I believe, both of them, I think, believe in public service, and I'm glad they're doing it.
Well, we have to have a governor.
Right.
We also have to have a governor that can get something done. One of the things that struck me from last night was, and I think it's clear I'm no Jeannie Ives fan, but Jeannie Ives, if she doesn't run that terrible commercial, she may well have won yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Right, and angry people turn out to vote.
Right.
So, I've never seen so many people strategize in this particular primary, like, well, I'm normally Republican, but I'm going to vote Democrat because, or vice versa. I'm Democrat, but I want to vote Republican because I don't want fill in
totally,
the blank.
I don't want Rauner to win,
right?
So I'm going to pull a ballot for Ives. You saw that all across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why yesterday the governor was so emphatic on it. People need to get out to vote. And I agree with you on Jeannie Ives. She had the worst political advice I've seen in decades, and that cost her. But the reality is, and I congratulate her for running, it would have been a real uphill climb for somebody that socially conservative to win in the state. It just doesn't happen. It's a center-left state.
So 31% approximately vote in Cook County and in the state. Sounds pretty awful. However, that is 64% better in the state and 94% better in Cook County. Are we heading in the right direction? It seems like it.
I think so, but Pat, a couple weeks ago, I ran into you at the gym, and you were talking about 800,000 voters.
Pat, you need to take that, or can that wait till after
Sorry,
the show?
Sorry, Steve. It's
not very important, but...
My pizza's out front.
You were saying, Carrie. You're at the gym, and what happened?
800,000... Pat's telling me that 800,000 Republican voters were going to turn out for the primary, and he was saying then it was going to be close between Rauner and Ives, but I think less than 800,000 turned
650.
Out.
Oh, 650.
Yeah. So were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought it would be closer to 750.
And what does that say?
It says that it was not a very aspirational campaign on both sides. Democrats had bigger turnout, but not huge turnout.
Right.
And to get bigger turnout, millennials at 3%, they were thrown around last night.
How about that? I thought that'd be higher, too.
Wait, how much? 3?
3%. And yeah. What's funny is...
That's Violetta and Kevin Powell.
And those are the people that have the most...
they voted.
Those are the people that have the most energy, and they'll stay up late.
Yeah,
they'll stay up late, and they'll tweet things, but they won't get out and vote.
Yeah. Well, like Patrick, my son, was his first vote yesterday, and dragging him out of bed to go vote. Like, you don't vote today. You don't have a home tonight.
So you better there you go.
Was he pumped after he did it a little bit?
Yeah, he goes, did I vote right? I go, well, tell me. And I go, you know what ballot to pull, right? He goes, yeah, I know where I live.
Right.
He was very pumped. He wasn't when I got him out of bed because it was 6 o'clock, but when he got home, he was all excited. He goes, wow, that was pretty cool. So
there you go.
Money clearly talked in this election, and I was hoping it wouldn't, not just for a multitude of reasons, but why is it? Is it just people are listening to these negative ads, or they're seeing it more? I mean, why is money?
Why does money pay off?
Exactly.
It's just bombardment, right? And that's what I hear the most.
Yeah, and I think there's a collision of worlds, right? I mean, Pritzker was able to win because Madigan early on recognized how important money would be. And so he fueled that fire. And then, you know, you had Pritzker just dropping more and more and more money into that race. You know, I kind of wonder, what was it? It was $63 million he
71.
Spent? 71 on the Democratic side. Did he really need to spend that much? I mean, his opponent spent so much less, but, you know, you just become incentivized.
Well, wasn't Rauner somewhere in that neighborhood?
No, he spent 17 something overall.
Oh, 17. Okay.
But five of that, four or five, was directed at Jeannie Ives. The rest was directed at JB.
They can pay off the pension debt or portion.
Well, he started off anyway.
I mean, yeah.
Pritzker.
That's in the billions. That's
world, right?
Yeah,
right.
It could be a start.
Pritzker's got a lot of money. But I was laughing about this, thinking about this yesterday. At some point, don't you? I mean, Carrie, you're married. Back in the day, if you went home to Julie and said, hey, we got a lot of money, but I'm going to spend $70 million on this.
Yeah, forget the college fund. But,
right.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, he's got it. He can spend it any way he wants. But at some point, campaign finance reform has to change from here to Washington and back.
Well, it's just sad because it's become such an elitist field. You feel like you can't run for governor.
Well, that's why Dan Biss did so well.
Yeah.
But here's where the Democrats, and JB's going to fund everybody for the Democrats. Said, but I think they made a mistake strategically that removed the millionaire argument or billionaire argument from Rauner.
Right.
Now it's just two rich guys. Before, it could have been, if it would have been Governor Rauner against Dan Biss, that's the middle class guy versus the billionaire. Now it's just two billionaires, and it's going to be more about taxes and reform and things like that.
But it's so boring. Two white male billionaires. You know, it's
right.
The same.
Hey, the undercard's phenomenal. You got Kwame.
Yeah,
and I want to talk about Kwame coming up, but before before we get to that, you talked about an aspirational candidate. We know that one of the reasons Hillary Clinton lost, aside from being a terrible candidate, is the fact that she had no message. She had no message about this is why I want to be president and this is what I want to do. If anybody had taken a look at her website, you could see back then she had great plans for everything. She never talked about them. Just talked about how terrible the other guy was, and Trump ekes out an Electoral College victory. If Rauner doesn't develop a this is how I will work with Mike Madigan to get something done, he's got a problem.
Well, you're going to see probably talk about corruption. You're going to see him talk about property taxes and probably roll into the crime problem. I think he will have a positive agenda on that. But the flip side of it is, you want to talk about message. I was trying to just total up everything that JB promised he was going to deliver to the state last night, and we were in the $400 billion range.
I got a gazillion. I actually got to a gazillion.
Yeah,
I
go, wow, that's so great. Wrong.
Yeah. So it's going to be... It's going to be an interesting battle. It will truly be a Republican who believes in a limited government, don't spend more than you have, and some reforms that people want, versus in the Democratic Party. I think there's some warning signs. It's more acute for Republicans because we have Trump. But the far left had a big night last night. Dan Biss got second place. Marie Newman almost beat Dan Lipinski. Mm-hmm. The far left has a lot of influence, and if he continues to get yanked to the left and promising all these things in a state that's broke— that's going to be a problem.
To stick on Rauner for a second, I think that he has to become more offensive instead of defensive. That saying I'm not in charge. I wish I were. Madigan holds all the power. I think
totally
that was the
agree.
Most damning statement
totally
made
agree.
Over the election cycle.
That's what I thought too. I thought if he can get through either a speech or an interview without saying Mike Madigan has a hold on the state, I'll be thrilled.
Well, there's a way to communicate that Mike Madigan is blocking everything without saying he's in charge of me and I'm the governor.
Right.
Those are the two conflicting problems.
Right.
You mentioned the attorney general. We'll come back and talk about that because I think it's one of the cooler races that you could have in this state for a long time. We have two younger people who aren't old, rich, white people who are going to face off for a really important job. The attorney general job affects your job or your life more every day than you know.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The attorney general's number one law man or law woman in the state. It's a big deal, especially with a state with a little bit of corruption here and there in politics. Lisa Madigan goes away, and now we know who it's going to be. One of two people, either Kwame Raoul or Erica Harold.
She's not running again. She's not going away.
Right.
That's
she's
going to
appear
art.
Somewhere. We're just not sure.
Yeah, that's a fair back. Point. I did make it sound like she was going away. That's not true at all. Carrie Lester's here, Associated Press, Daily Herald, big shot author now. And Carrie, I really like the looks of this race. Kwame Raoul and Erica Harold.
It was interesting. There was diversity. There were good candidates. I mean, there's all sorts of things. And, you know, you can't forget that we also had Pat Quinn, the perennial candidate. And so that one, I was nervous. I mean, I thought, you know, here's a guy. He jumped in late. He hardly spent any money. He did have some commercials at the end, but it looked like he was going to win for a while because he drew the lucky straw to be at the top of the ballot. And Kwame eked by, but it wasn't by a big victory.
No, I thought Quinn was going to win, just based on his name ID in downstate.
Yep.
But yet, Eric Edelstein ran his campaign. Doing his ads.
Kwame Raoul, that's exactly right. What can you tell me about either one of you guys, Kwame Raoul? Or, well, you know Erica Harold. Tell me about Erica.
No, both of them. Kwame's a great guy, a real nice guy. I think he gave a great acceptance speech last night. It's going to be a great race. The difference will be, I think, forward-looking, or going to be, I think the whole Democratic ticket will be more of the same. I think Erica will, for the Republicans, represent a future, a different approach to run the Attorney General's office, prosecuting corruption and taking on the crime problem up here in the city, unlike what Lisa Madigan just didn't address those issues. And I think she's one of the best candidates I've ever seen.
She's a really neat candidate. And she had a strong race against Rodney Davis downstate a few years ago. I covered that when I worked for the AP. And, I mean, she lost, but I felt like in that district, she was kind of, you know, it was one where she was set up to lose, and she did better than was expected.
She's really a policy wonk, too.
Yeah.
She knows the office, and she's very, very sharp and really knows how to deliver messages.
I think they're both great speakers. They're both, I think, powerful candidates. And I think, arguably, this is going to be a very, very, very close race, maybe closer than governor.
It'll be fun to watch, if you like policy and politics, two African Americans discuss criminal justice reform in a state that badly needs criminal justice reform in the communities that they represent. I think will be a great debate.
Yeah. And this will be the first African American Attorney General.
This will be the first African American Republican nominated statewide ever.
Do we need a different party attorney general versus the governor's office to have success in that office and to make sure people don't believe there's some sort of collusion, there's the word, or corruption?
I don't think it's absolutely mandatory, but it can't hurt. I mean, I think the more diversity we have among the constitutionals, the better.
Erica's done a very good job of stating exactly what she wants to do and that she will be independent.
And that message, you know, who uses their Miss America money to go back to Harvard and go to law school? I mean,
Steve,
I think that
Steve
resonates
did.
With people. Yeah. Steve did. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's similar there.
So I don't like to talk about it.
Yeah. But she does have a few stumbling blocks. I mean, that comment about raising children in a gay home, I think that will stick with her in
November.
She
didn't say that. I mean, she says she doesn't remember saying it.
Right.
And that
but didn't she own it afterwards?
She did. She apologized.
Said,
if I did say it, I apologize.
Yeah.
And more importantly, I don't feel that way now.
Yeah.
Right. Which is good. I mean,
that's not her issue.
I think she needed to do that, though, too, because, you know, clearly such a strong candidate, and then that surfaces. You know, Marian Ahern broke that story, and
I think there's a lot of weirdness in that pageant world, jealousies.
Pretty girls jealous of each other.
I think part of that came from the book and
flashback to eighth grade. Wait a minute,
where are it? it's Mean Girls with sashes.
Exactly.
Can you guys hang around a bit? Because I have other questions. I need you to clear things up for me. Carrie Lester's here. Title of that book again?
Know My Place.
Know My Place. Get it. Get two copies. You know how you are. You're careless. You'll lose one.
Thanks, Steve.
And Pat Brady, who slept 6 minutes, is here. What's the name of that company of yours?
Next Generation Strategies.
So get out there and know that Next Generation Strategies is the official Next Generation Strategies of the Steve Cochran Show.
Thank you.
729. Of course, it's a big honor. Headlines from Andre in a moment at 720 WGN.
So those of you around the state of Illinois who wanted to send me a message, let me be clear. I have heard you. I have traveled the state, and I have listened to you. While we disagree on some things, let's commit to working together on what unites us. The reforms we need to save our state.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
What message did he hear? You know, Carrie Lester, Pat Brady are here. What message did the governor hear? He said, I've traveled around the state. I've heard you. Okay, what's the message?
Well, I think he's talking about it was a close race, a lot closer than a lot of people thought it would be. And the social conservatives are not happy with him.
Right. But my point is, when you hear something like that, my ears go to, okay, what message did you hear? And what are you going to do about the message that you heard? It simply goes to clearing up that message from the governor, which I still think he needs to do. Let's talk about the people that didn't win for a second. Chris Kennedy, Dan Biss, they have a political future if they want it?
I think so. I think Daniel Biss is a policy wonk. I think he'll resurface. I think he would have been a great comptroller. I think he would have been, you know, good in that office, but he just didn't have the right cards at the right time. Kennedy, I was reading a stat last night, and I'm not sure, I didn't research if it's accurate, that he's only the third Kennedy in the family to lose.
Is that right?
Wow. An election? And so I, you know.
Well, that's not a great statistic at Thanksgiving.
Well, Grandpa Joe used to help things along.
Right. Yeah. He's not there.
I'm surprised that it wasn't closer between Pritzker and
but
Kennedy.
I think Biss and Kennedy split. Whatever was going against Pritzker.
Yeah, you talk about Ives getting what she got.
Right.
Wow.
Over 50% of the Democrats voted for somebody other than JB.
How about that?
But Chris Kennedy gave one of the nicest, classiest concessions.
That was great.
It was lovely.
It was really good.
Very nice.
All right, what about on the other side? Does Jeannie Ives have a political future outside of what the job she already has?
I don't know how she translates statewide, and as you said, Steve, that commercial, had that not aired, I think she might have been viewed as a slightly more tolerant candidate. So I'm not sure that she resonates outside of Wheaton.
Yeah, well, maybe she does, because she obviously has some talent for politics, and she strikes a chord with a certain group of people, and I've said this before, the people around her, the Policy Institute, the Dan Profs, those people, she needs to get away from, because they gave her terrible advice.
Yeah, well, the Policy Institute and Dan Prof could have taken the governor down if he had stuck with him much longer than the month or so he was involved with the governor.
Yeah, the reality is the political organization, the campaign, the goal of doing it, the exercise, is to win. And you can't win if only 28% of the state actually agrees with your policy position. She needs to moderate, or she can run for something local, but she won't go statewide.
I did find myself thinking last night about, you know, the Policy Institute's performance. I mean, it was a big loss for them in the Durkin race as well. And so, you know, are they going to change gears a little bit moving forward? I doubt it, but...
Well, the message doesn't work. The takeaway from last night, for me anyway, is that hate doesn't work. Yeah. And that's a good thing for the Republican Party, because I was very afraid if this went the other way that those people that did the hate commercial were going to be rewarded for it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Joe Berrios for a second. He goes away. What sort of damage does that do to the Mike Madigan machine? And who is Fritz Kage? And is he going to be good at the gig?
I think it helps the Mike Madigan machine. Berrios had a lot of baggage that is not helping an already kind of unflattering message for the Democratic Party of Illinois. And so I think, you know, you saw these early celebrations when Berrios made this concession speech. I think that's one race that people are pretty universally happy about in the state. So Kagi's going to have to prove himself. He's going to have to be something other than the guy that's running against Berrios. But time will tell.
There's going to have to be a whole revamping now of these assessments and the property tax system, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's people driving to work this morning. That's one of their number one concerns. For I pay too much taxes to live in Illinois, and I might have to leave the state. What can Fritz Kage do about that?
Well, not much, because I agree completely that actually I think this helps Berrios, because it somewhat takes the boogeyman.
Helps Madigan, you mean?
Helps Pritzker. Because Berrios being gone, you don't have somebody to point at. Now the problem's being solved. We don't want to hear about it anymore. He still has the problem of the fact he ripped the five bathrooms out of his second mansion on Astor Street to get a tax cut.
It's unbelievable.
But we were trying to make this point last night. The big the issue with the assessor, it's huge, obviously, with what we saw from the TRIB reporting about lower-income people paying more than higher-income people. But the big scam is it's in the commercial properties.
Oh, my God.
That's where the money's made.
I have the person, you know, I live in a condo building. The person who lives next door to me with the same square footage pays $300 less a month in assessments than I do. That's ridiculous. And then when you try and appeal it, oh, it's free. But because of the laws of the state, because you are part of an association, you have to hire a lawyer to do it.
We talked about
where does that money
the Rauner statement, too, about not being in charge or whatever, which will hurt him in the long run. I think everybody knows that. But I think the Astor Street bathroom toilet ripping out to get a $250,000 tax break is going to be equally painful for JB.
I was surprised the Blagojevich tapes weren't more of a hit.
Well, I'm going to make a button that says there are more tapes.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Well, there is, with all the money involved and all the talk about Oppo research on a national level, I'm sure there's a little bit of that coming in this race. How ugly is this Rauner-Pritzker thing going to get?
I think pretty ugly. I mean, when there's money to fuel it, I mean, the sky's the limit.
How about Toni Preckwinkle? Were you guys surprised that she completely just floored Bob Fioretti?
No. I think people hated that soda tax, but I didn't see a substantial campaign.
Nobody paid a price for voting for the soda tax. In fact, two people paid a price for being against it. Did Boykin, I tuned out about
Boykin
one.
Boykin won.
He stayed in, but John Fritchie lost.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
I was, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's hear from an actual citizen, a taxpayer, who just walked up to the microphone here. Sandberg? Well, let me turn your mic on. I'm at home.
Okay, so I know the two biggest pizza eating holidays are the day before Thanksgiving and the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But with every news person I was following last night on my social media was eating pizza. And so I would like to know if the numbers are in on how much pizza was consumed last night and if that's always been a thing.
Well, you guys have all been to campaign headquarters. Is that the go-to?
It is, and I have to say, I saw a photo on Twitter of WGN's spread, and you guys look like the best pizza.
There was about 35.
How about that?
Yeah, 35 pizzas at GNTV, and then we had a whole green room full of pizza here at radio.
For the Justin Kaufman web thing?
Yes, and then I believe Justin's producer, Pete, was told to guard the pizza so that Ro Khan's show didn't eat it prior to election coverage.
Well, it's interesting because pizza used to be quite reasonable. It's not anymore. That's quite an expensive buffet. Yeah. You said an entire studio full of pizza at Channel 9?
Yeah, the old Bozo studio was full of pizza. I'm not kidding. It's Andrew.
Oh, I know exactly.
My election judges at my polling place were eating pizza while checking me in. So pizza, I'm just curious if the... if that's now a pizza holiday as well, elections.
You eat so badly on election night. I have taken to telling myself that calories don't count because you're just eating.
Yeah, you don't have a nutritionist there. And we should thank the election judges, including the ones that had trouble staying awake. Because every time one of these comes up and you see these, you know, it's a cliche, it's the gag, oh, it's the old folks, they don't have anything to do, isn't it cute they volunteer? It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
They sit there all day, they work their butts off, you know, including just putting up with people. So thanks to all of them. I made sure I thanked them when I was there yesterday. But again, we had spurts where I voted. Other places like yours was busier.
They said it was busy in the morning. There was a line actually in the morning, but when I got there, I popped right in. There was maybe a handful of people there.
At 5 o'clock, the Chicago Board of Elections did a press conference or a news conference on the phone, and they said the numbers went from 20,000 an hour to 45,000 an hour from 5 to 6. So good. There was a huge turnout at the very end.
They need to make that cooler, though.
What do you mean?
I want to be able to vote online. I don't want to have to go thank a judge.
I think at
a weird location.
It'd be 100% if you can just vote from your phone.
Yeah.
Right.
They could email us a little I voted badge on your phone. Right. You know, so you can show people that.
Right. And I was telling Pat this during the break, but as a reporter, I switch ballots in primaries every year out of fairness. A mentor of mine had done that, so I thought that's a good idea. And it was my year to take a Republican ballot. So I go to my polling place, I ask for a ballot, and the election judge says to me, "Are you sure you want to do that?" It's just so Chicago.
Wow.
So, well, you pulled a Republican ballot, yeah. Are you sure you don't want to do it?
You sure? That's fantastic.
That's nice. That's nice. Carrie Lester's here, and Pat Brady's here. We got a couple more minutes with them before we wrap up this discussion of the future of the state of Illinois. Next hour, Jim Ryan, the Austin bombing suspect is dead, killed himself last night, set off an explosion in his car as police closed in. Now we'll see if we can get some more information on how they found him coming up. Oh, and it's Bacon Fest. If you guys stick around, forget about pizza. There's bacon in studio after 9. And bacon is so good, you'll be able to smell it in your car if you're driving to work this morning.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'm a traveling man.
Carrie Lester and Sandberg just invented a new slogan on election night. Pizza calories don't count, your vote does. Huh? There's your t-shirt. Carrie Lester is here, and Pat Brady's here. The assessor's race, here's one thing we didn't talk about. There was a third candidate that wants to make a federal case, or maybe a local case, out of the fact that she should have been on the ballot. She wasn't on the ballot. There may have been some Chicago shenanigans going on. What do we know? Anything?
I think she's got a good case.
I think if it were closer, she might have a case.
But is there a legal path to go down on this? Is there a precedent for it?
I don't know.
I don't know that. But, I mean, I just feel like she could, you know, she can make a big stink about it, whether she's successful in court or not.
A couple of texters brought this up, and it is certainly a worthy question. Why, if J.B. Pritzker is willing to spend $70 million of his own money on the primary, is he willing to risk losing all of that to save $250,000 on his property taxes? Right. Is that a character issue? Is
Penny wise, pound foolish?
That's a great question, right? Actually.
And several listeners brought that up this morning.
Well, what makes it even worse is there's just a certain pot of tax dollars that come from property taxes. So somebody else in some other part of the county had to pick that up.
Yeah.
It's not a zero, you know, it's not just $250,000 he saved. He just saved it. Somebody else had to make that up somewhere.
Yeah, but you do hear with these guys who make these exorbitant amounts of money, they are very thrifty. Like Governor Rauner famously drinks like really cheap beer, like Stag and
Schlitz.
Hey, let's not get
Schlitz
on.
And things like that.
It's dag cheap. I thought that was high end.
That's
you couldn't get any old Milwaukee?
Bush Light.
Couldn't right. get any Genesee brought in from the East?
Bush Light. That was my college beer.
Carrie, you were talking earlier about the mess in DuPage County, one right. of the richest counties in the country. What's going on there?
So this is at least the second election in a row where their results have frozen and haven't been coming in. And it's a big problem, I think, for reporters around the state, but particularly places like the Daily Herald, where I used to work, where you're trying to look at, you know, how the different counties polled. And so last night, a message came up that their votes, they were not able to tabulate their votes, and they didn't know when they would be able to. So there has been a big fight over there, whether to consolidate the election board under the, I think, the county clerk. And that's been a big push to county chairman Dan Cronin. And he said, oh, you know, this is just another reason why changes need to be made. And I think that's right. But either way, it's just this massive inconvenience.
Well, Cronin's a great example, I think, for Republicans of somebody that's actually a good leader that gets along with people, is making incremental change to reduce the size of this bloated government. And hopefully he'll be successful in reforming that board.
Another texter just brought up with the Equifax data breach. Isn't that a reason not to vote online if it ever comes to that? I don't know how it doesn't come to this at some point. And the same argument, I think you brought this up. And Eric Edelstein brought this up. We move every penny on the planet,
my God,
which is, you know, our important stuff, our money, mm-hmm. electronically. Why can't we vote electronically?
Well, I guess we can tie into national politics here. If the Congress would do their job and investigate Russian interference in our elections and put the politics aside, maybe we can figure out what exactly they did and try to prevent it. But mm-hmm. it is a risk.
Well, there's a risk in everything. There's right. also a risk that Citibank will get whacked and we're right. all going to wonder where our money is, but it's not happening.
But, you know, the Russians hacked into the Illinois state voter registration database as is, so I think anything's possible.
Yeah.
Carrie Lester's book. Mm-hmm. Did you know she wrote a book?
Yeah, it's fantastic, I don't know if you're, by the way. It's excellent.
Thank you.
And that book is called?
Know My Place.
Know My Place. Let's stop sexual harassment in not just Illinois government, but in all over.
Yeah, Illinois is a nice start.
Yeah, well, let's do that first.
You know, it's having an impact. Have the guy that hangs down there, there's a different tone down there.
You said that there people are less huggy and all sorts of
yeah,
things.
Yeah, there's no
there.
Hug. It's a no-hug zone. Yeah.
Couple of calls before we go. Jim's on the phone from Aurora. What's your thought, Jim?
Yes, Steve. I just great show. I listen to you all the time.
Thank
Bob, you know, it's all good. And Pat, I'm a D, but I wish you'd run for something because I'd vote for you. But seriously, you mentioned two things: the election judges and their hard jobs. They're really the heart and soul of the elections. Those people work their butts off.
I agree.
But you made a point about people asking, "Are you sure you want that ballot?"
Oh yeah, Carrie got us.
Yeah, that's an affirmation, because people don't always think what they're saying. So you want to make sure you're giving them the correct ballot.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, I get it. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. But you should also be trained not to ask it that way, because it feels like you're saying, you sure you want to vote Republican?
Plus, right. You sure you want to eat that donut?
He yeah. didn't. He didn't right. know he was talking to a reporter, too.
Well, there's that.
There
it's
go.
Always going to be.
Chip's an election judge. Where?
I was out in DuPage County.
And what do you want to say, Chip?
Basically, I got up at 3:30. My son got up at 4 o'clock. Left the house at 4:30. Got to the polling station at 4:40. Got everything up and operational even before the other judges got there. And basically, we opened up at 6, closed at 7. I didn't get home until 11:30 last night.
It's a long day, man. It's a long day. I salute you.
I'm exhausted, but it was worth it because I enjoy it.
Well, you enjoy it, and you're also doing an important job, and I appreciate it, and I think we all do, Chip. Thanks. You know what? Give Chip a Make America Vote Again hat. How about that?
Hey, there are a lot of chips out there. I think the noise drowns a lot of these people up. There mm-hmm. are a lot of dedicated public servants. Everybody that ran yesterday did a public service, and it's hard, hard work.
By the way, Boykin lost by just over 1,000 votes.
Okay.
Oh, that's close enough.
Brandon Johnson, yeah. I wanted to make sure we had
Up over 64% statewide yes. and 93% in Cook County. It's a start, kids.
It's a start.
It's a start.
Congratulations. That was your...
No. We were a small part of it. Andre did most of the work.
Yeah.
thank you, Carrie Lester. Thank you, Pat Brady.
It was so nice of you to have us on.
And please ask Carrie, please ask Pat, I should say, to go home and get some sleep.
That's right.
No, we got a big day.
We're back with the news next. Then Dean on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than when I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Did you know how short Ringo Starr is? Did you realize how short he was?
No, not until I saw the picture of him being knighted.
Dean Richards joins us. Good morning, buddy.
He is short. It's a good thing you didn't have my microphone turned on 30 seconds earlier.
What happened? Was there trouble?
There was some naughty talk going on.
Oh, boy.
In the general vicinity of my little area of the newsroom.
Well, Annabelle Laval sits near you. Were you?
She is here today, too, and I completely blame her for this.
Okay.
For the naughty talk that was happening 30 seconds ago.
Did it get on the air? That was all medical terms from Dr. Stryker.
Not all of them.
What Anna said, for those of you not hearing it, was that was medical terms from Dr. Stryker, a woman who just loves making broadcasters uncomfortable from sea to shining sea.
Yeah.
How are you?
They were talking. Anna was talking about medical terms, and then I said, okay, get it out of your systems, because I'm about to go on the air live in a second.
And it went south real fast.
A wave of obscenities.
And I mean way south.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You know who Annabelle Laval is? You know who she is? We love Annabelle Laval.
We do.
Annabelle Laval is the around town reporter.
Right, but do you know who she is? And I mean this with the highest praise. She is Steve. Lucy.
Yeah. Oh.
2018.
Oh, yes, she is. Oh.
Steve is explaining. Steve Cochran is explaining who you are, and he just described you as Lucy 2018.
And that's a compliment.
With an accent.
He
with
says.
He's accent.
Yeah, he says it's a compliment.
Yes, I love Lucy.
Yeah.
That's well, be a good Lucy, name for a TV show.
By the way, Lucy didn't say that. I did. She loves Lucy. What am I, chopped liver? Come on.
She's here today because all of our mobile units are busy with post-election coverage.
Who are you kidding? All the pizza you guys ate last night, nobody wants to move.
Shoot, there's nothing but pizza cartons all over this place today. Yeah. Guess they never heard about cleaning up after yourself.
No, no, no. Ringo, Caitlyn Jenner. What is going on in the background there?
There's a conference.
Is she talking about a story or something? I mean, we literally hear more of Anna than we do of you.
I can't hear what she's talking about.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Actually, I'm doing work. I'm talking to my producer.
Yeah, okay. That's what I said.
Well, let's move that into another room.
Steve said move it into another room.
That's my inside voice. I just wanted to let you know.
Right. I know.
At least it's in English.
Yes. Ringo Starr, Caitlyn Jenner. A benefit concert for a pretty cool cause in a theme park that seems like an idea that makes a lot of sense, even though you don't need to spend any more money on this.
Right, and more of Annabelle Laval.
And more of Annabelle Laval! Don't you hear that?
Did you hear that? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Did you get new glasses?
No, I don't wear glasses.
No, I'm talking to... I don't care about talking to you. I'm talking to Anna.
I really see you blurry, but it's for reading.
For those of you who are curious,
Anna's got reading glasses.
It's
new reading glasses.
Well, we can tell from here. Yeah. At 8:15, we'll come back and we'll talk to Dean and Annabelle Laval and other people in a moment.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
All right, we got a lot to talk about here. Ringo Starr, knighted.
Yeah, yesterday Prince William put the sword on his shoulders and officially.
What does that move? It's right shoulder, left shoulder, top of your head, or
left foot in, left foot out, shake it all about.
You take the sword and you shake it all about. You want a shaky sword.
That's what it's all about.
And then you get a medal.
Yes, well, he gets a medal and official title, Knight of Bachelor of the British Empire.
And then the weird part is, I don't know if you saw this, you chest bump with the Queen. Like you both run and you jump into each other?
Yeah, yeah. That's where that started. Everyone thinks that started in the NBA. NBA, not NBA. His actual knighthood, you also get a certificate. It actually says Sir Richard Starkey on it, which is his real name, as you know.
And did he go, oh,
Can you guys change this to Ringo Starr?
I would have done that if it was me. It's like, I think most people, hey, man, I think most people know me as Ringo. Ringo Starr.
I don't want to be a bother. But could you change this to Ringo Starr?
It's well, most people know me. Nobody knows me as Richard Starkey.
Now, do you know his age, Ringo?
77.
How about that?
Yep. 77. Who would have thought our Beatles would be that age? But they are. Somebody asked what he and Prince William talked about when he was up there receiving the honor. You know, they have a little small talk. Well, right. You know, you got to. The prince has a sword right next to your neck. You feel like you got to make small talk with him. This is what Ringo said.
We were talking about music. He loves the Beatles, and I congratulated on the next baby. And he said, any minute now, and I said, good. I know what it's like. I've got three of my own.
And what do you think the Beatles would make, the ones that are no longer here, of this?
Well, I think, you can't talk about that. It would have been great if we were all here. I miss John, I miss George to this day.
So Paul got his knighthood 21 years ago, 1997, Paul got the honor, but John and George never did.
Yeah.
And they never will, because apparently, according to the rules, you have to be alive in order to receive the honor.
I did not know that. So this is it. This is all your Beatles and all your knighthoods.
It'll be all your Sir Beatlehoods that are going to
come. No posthumous knighting.
No. That was a band I was in.
I know.
Caitlyn Jenner?
Skin cancer on her nose.
Is that from golf?
As both Caitlyn Jenner and Bruce Jenner.
Plays a lot of golf.
She did spend a lot of time on the golf course, so it's very possible. Do you wear sunscreen?
All the time.
When you're on there?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
All over your head, everything?
I actually have my entire body painted in sunscreen every three holes.
Yeah.
You use a very thick sunblock, too.
Yeah, this is a true story. There's a thing called Colore, C-O-L-O-R-E.
Yeah.
And it's a brush on powder sunscreen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Ross said this first, I believe my son. I was putting on the sunscreen, he goes, you look like Mrs. Doubtfire without the dress. God. More makeup pops.
And it's true. You have to get the top of your ears, too. Even if you wear a hat.
I have to top my head.
You have to do the top of your ears,
right.
Too.
So top of your ears, top of your head. Burned.
My esthetician gave me that same sunscreen. It looks like a makeup brush.
Yeah.
And Steve one day was putting it on in the office on his legs, which is funny because his hair, there's hair on his legs, mm-hmm. and he's using this little makeup brush.
Mm-hmm.
You need a bigger thing to apply on the larger areas of your body.
You see, like a paintbrush?
Yeah. Or a roller. Yeah.
You may want to do what I do when I get that sunscreen. I take it to an Earl Scheib, and I just go right through.
Like a car wash.
Yeah, it's like a car wash.
Well, this stuff's expensive, but I highly recommend it for golfers because it's not greasy.
Right.
Anytime you're doing something, sports-wise outside, you tennis players or...
You athletes. All of you athletes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except for two things about it. There's usually some color. So if you wipe your face with a towel or something, mm-hmm. it'll end up on the towel.
Mm-hmm.
But the nice thing is if you're going to take any pictures, you're not shiny for the photos. So it actually looks good.
I've thought about that benefit.
This is the third time that Caitlyn Jenner has had cancerous tissue removed. And on her Instagram yesterday said, always wear your sunblock.
Well, Dave, you can speak to this because you've had issues with this.
I've had several skin
And what happens? Do you have to is the recurrence more likely after you've had one?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, that's what my dermatologist has told me. And so I'm extremely careful now.
You're careful now, but the skin cancer you're getting is from damage from 20, 40 years
ago. Yeah, we didn't know. When I was a kid,
not only did we not know, anybody went... You remember when sunblock first came out? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like toothpaste. If you put it on, you go, dude, what are you doing?
Right.
You just go out, and the more sunburned you were, it was a badge of honor.
Right. And I will never forget driving to the beach every summer with my folks and seeing the billboard for Coppertone with the dog pulling the kids'
pants down.
It was tan, don't burn.
Yep.
So you put this stuff on, which did nothing to keep you from burning.
Yeah, my husband has said the same thing as Dave on the face, and they have told him that once it's there, it probably will come up in other areas on your face or head. That's just how it works.
We used to put baby oil on.
Right. Olive oil. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Like basting a turkey.
Yeah, just to make sure, just in case you had a chance of getting a skin cancer.
Right.
This pretty much solidified that you were going to be well done by the time the day was over.
Yeah.
See, Dean having a Greek mother, though, so we got, well, olive you don't
oil.
Need that.
You put the olive oil.
Put the olive oil on.
Well, what about the tinfoil reflectors, too, right? You weren't getting enough sun.
Right.
So you'd have these tinfoil reflectors to make sure it was blasting you.
Yeah, I didn't mind the oil so much, but my Greek mother also basted me in lemon and oregano.
Right.
I thought that was weird.
Like a nice Athenian chicken.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now I want chicken.
There's a benefit concert for the California wildfire victims. Where and when?
It is going to be in May. It's being put together by Brad Paisley and Ellen DeGeneres, May the 12th. It'll be at the Santa Barbara Bowl. Brad Paisley and friends. Money's going to go to people who lost their homes in Santa Barbara and Montecito counties there. Money's going to go to service workers, to the first responders of that area. Good for Ellen and Brad Paisley stepping forward to do it. I'm sure they're going to get a lot of big names to participate.
Is that from Lou? Yeah. Lou Manfredini listening in just said he can get me the industrial strength brushes to put on my sunblock.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
From Ace Hardware.
Yeah.
A Marvel theme park. We got your Disney. We got your Universal.
Are you fancy calling it Marvel?
Yes. Yeah, because I like it when it rhymes with Carvel.
Ice cream?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The ice cream cake.
Yeah. The Marvel theme park, which would mean all of the Marvel characters?
Right now, it's going to be a Disneyland, you know, because Marvel and Disney owns Marvel now. And
it's not Marvel?
Most everything else.
Marvel's my real name.
Marvel, as we like to call it. That's going to be a Disneyland in Anaheim, also in Paris and in Hong Kong. You know, Steve, when I am in Paris, I enjoy going to the Marvel theme park.
I like to ride the Spider-Man.
Okay. All right. That's not going to be taken out of context at all. There will be a Spider-Man attraction. There'll be a Guardians of the Galaxy attraction, Avengers. So it's pretty much...
Thor, I love your hammer.
You are so mighty. Mighty, mighty, mighty Thor. They say it will be a completely immersive superhero universe.
All right, I'm out. And when is it going to open?
2020. The year 2020.
Okay.
2020.
Have they run out of movies to do with these characters?
Oh, no. Oh, there's plenty more to come. Mm-hmm. What's probably going to be as big, if not bigger, than Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War is going to be opening in April. So that's going to be the next huge Marvel superhero.
I noticed one character I had not been familiar with, because I'm not a comic book guy, but they have Osteoarthritic Man. Who's a real hero, because he chases down the bad guys, but it's really painful for him.
Yeah.
And every time he runs, it's ow, 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 right. Ow, ow, but he finally catches a bad guy.
When he gets up out of his superhero vehicle.
Yes.
Oh,
it's so inspirational.
Yeah, but you know, very relevant to the baby boomers who grew up reading the comic books. We can all relate to a superhero like that.
There's no question about it.
I didn't realize how many Marvel characters there are.
You know, it's my real name, Marvel Lee Cochran.
Well, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Dean, enjoy your day.
Thank you so much.
And say hi to Annabelle Laval.
We chased her away.
Well, good. She was talking too loudly.
She was talking loud. Just a loud voice.
She has two volumes, awake and asleep.
Loud voiced, two languages. That's what my day is like sitting here.
Yeah, no, listen, you're the Fred Mertz in that story.
Hey, honey bunch.
We'll be back in a moment on 720 WGN. You know those zombie movies where zombies rise up and they start stumbling towards people and all that? I expect that to happen soon because they're bringing in bacon.
Oh, yes.
And people from all over the building, like zombies, will start wandering down to the studio.
Yeah, Bacon Fest. I think so, too, right?
Yeah.
Always when there's food.
Well, Ryan Burrow came down here again. I called Ryan Burrow out on this 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
And I said, the only time we ever see you is when there's food in the studio, and then you make an excuse as to why you're down here. I said, just own it.
Right.
You're hungry. You want the free food.
Right. Just walk past us and say, I don't care about you guys.
So he came down here and went, oh, is this the studio? I've never been down here.
Come on.
Expecting the bacon would be here.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Police Chief Brian Manley says they tracked this man, who is 24 years old and white but not identified yet, to a motel in the town of Round Rock, right outside Austin. When they closed in on him, he detonated a bomb inside the vehicle, killing himself. Still yet to be answered, though. Why?
That's Sherry Preston from ABC News. The why is the big question. Jim Ryan may be able to update us on some, if not all, of this story from Texas this morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. We now, ABC News has learned that the identity of this suspect, he was 24 years old. His name was Mark Anthony Condit. He lived in Pflugerville, Texas, which is not too far from Round Rock. They all kind of join each other, Pflugerville, Austin, and Round Rock, where this all came to a bloody end this morning when the suspect, Condit, blew himself up. Police were moving in. They had developed enough information that they were going to take him into custody. Rather than having that happen, he simply used the final bomb that he was going to use, and it was to kill himself.
Jim, we know this was a two-week period over which these explosions occurred, but I think very quick police work being able to track down this suspect with really no leads early on, and then they found the hotel, the car at the hotel, and that's when they moved in.
Well, it was a matter of numbers, too. 500 federal agents helping an investigation that included a substantial police department here in Austin and state resources. So hundreds and hundreds of people were brought to bear with expertise in how to track people down. And I think that's what accounts for what was, you're right, a fairly rapid solution to this case.
So we know nothing about the specifics of this man so far?
No, not about the background, at least. All we have right now is a name, the age, and the hometown. I suspect those details will start unfolding fairly quickly. What was his background? Did he have a military history, a resume that included some kind of ordnance work?
Is there a concern there might be another bomber out there?
Another bomber? Well, maybe. I think the greater concern is that there might be another bomb out there, that he might have left something behind or actually gotten something into the FedEx or the U.S. mail or UPS or some other delivery service that could still be out there in the system and headed for parts unknown. So, yeah, there is still that that sense of urgency on the part of law enforcement for people to be careful.
Jim, I guess everything is on the table at this point, but any indication at this point that this could be a disgruntled either postal worker or FedEx or UPS just because of where the packages were targeted?
Well, no, I think that it was, I don't think there's any thinking along those lines. The one that blew up at FedEx late Monday night, you know, it was simply in the system being delivered. I don't think it was supposed to be detonated at all. It was riding along a conveyor belt. Another one that was dropped off at the same location at, I believe, the same time, made it through without detonating, and that one may have provided all the clues the FBI needed to finger this particular person.
Is the key here the unexploded device? Is that where the signature came from, to backtrack everything?
Well, I suspect that certainly a big part of it. That was, you know, a huge part of the clue. And also, you know, the fact that he used FedEx, he went into a FedEx location here in Austin or in the Austin area, and there were surveillance pictures taken of him.
Yeah, I couldn't tell, and maybe this is not something that's been made public yet, but if he was using a self-service setup there or if he was checking a package in with somebody, is that known?
Yeah, he actually had to. You can see images of him. I've seen the surveillance pictures, and he walks up to a clerk, and he's got a big box under his arm. He turns it over and, you know, signs some paperwork, and that's it. So, yeah, it wasn't just a self-serve thing. It was actually contact with a human.
Here's the thing. I mean, how many times have you all been to FedEx? They take the package.
Right.
You know, they flip it around. They throw those big old labels on them.
Right, and they toss it.
And they toss it on the belt. You know, and the tripwires and the triggers for these things are different, obviously. But imagine the guy that checked that guy in, looking back now and thinking, I'm tossing a bomb around, and this was the guy. And also, wasn't he wearing gloves?
No, in the picture, at least, he's not.
Oh, I thought he was. Okay.
Not that I could tell. And it looked like he was wearing a wig and a hat, but I couldn't tell whether he had gloves on or not.
But there's no reason to think the FedEx guy would have known. It's just a weirdo bringing a package in.
Correct. Right. Exactly.
The questions that obviously come to mind here, aside from motive, is, are there family members that knew something about this guy? Were there somebody that maybe had suspicions that didn't talk before? I guess the thankful thing here, Jim, is only two people died.
Well, yeah, you know, there were some serious injuries that came out of this whole thing, too. And it does point to a much larger problem here. If he had been allowed to continue with this, and the first one looked like it was an isolated incident, maybe a drug deal or something, or drug vengeance, and then it grew from there. You're right, it could have gone much, much, much worse.
Hey, Jim, to Steve's point earlier, do you think that we're going to start seeing changes now in facilities like this, either UPS or FedEx or even just the U.S. Post Office, just with the way things are brought into these facilities? So the worker doesn't get, you know, the messenger isn't blamed, per se, when they toss the package back.
Yeah, I think they've actually started doing that, you know, more stringent checking of packages. Things that didn't have to be signed for before might have to be signed for at this point. So I suspect that some of those changes, policy changes, are already in the works at FedEx and probably at the other delivery services as well.
It's the great concern here in Chicago. We are a hub for everything, whether it's packages, whether it's shipping containers, you know, any way parcels are moved. And we certainly hope this is an exception, not a trend.
Absolutely.
Jim Ryan, ABC News, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Steve, you said you could see the gloves in the picture?
Yeah, and maybe Jim didn't get to see the second of these. They're releasing these surveillance pictures this morning, a number of them. And there's one where he's walking in the building. This may be the one that Jim did not see. That you can clearly see white you know, gloves that you would wear if you were preparing food or maybe working in a hospital. But they're hard to see at the picture when he's at the counter. It doesn't look like he's wearing gloves when he's at the counter.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because of the nature of the business, you're bringing in a package. One of the questions you're asked to answer on the forms, if not asked verbally, is there anything in this box that's explosive or dangerous in any way, shape, or form? If a guy comes in a wig wearing gloves, I would think alarms would go off inside your head.
Yeah, and this is not a good wig either. This is like a bad undercover boss situation. It almost looks like something from Wayne's World, like a white
it's
wig.
That's exactly what I thought,
yeah,
too, Steve, when I
yeah,
saw that.
Yeah, he looks very out of place, and the gloves would have just set my alarm bells off big time. But who knows? Maybe people don't like dealing with boxes, and they come in with gloves all the time. I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know. And if some FedEx or UPS folks are listening, maybe you could clear that up. I mean, I'm certainly not implicating the FedEx guy. It's not his fault. I'm glad he didn't detonate a bomb when he handled the package. But obviously the question you're going to wonder is, why does a 24-year-old decide he's going to start randomly creating this sort of mayhem and killing people and ultimately be prepared to kill himself like he did when the police approached last night? It's a crazy world.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
We haven't vetted this tape yet, Joe. The tape of the call from the president to Vladimir Putin. We supposedly have non-vetted audio of the president speaking to Vladimir Putin. This is a big controversial phone call yesterday, where he was told not to thank
or not to congratulate,
I should say.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vladimir Putin, on his election win. So I'm a little hesitant to roll
this. You have the audio of it?
We've been sent this. I'm a little hesitant to roll it, but it's not like I have time to go listen to it.
Well, let's hear it.
Let's listen to it live and judge accordingly. Go.
Hello, Vladimir Putin speaking.
Hey, Pooty, congratulations on the election.
Thank you, Donny. It was a hard-fought campaign, but nothing a little nerve gas and stuffed ballot boxes can fix, am I right?
That's tremendous. You know, frankly, I'm jealous. I mean, your election system is so simple. So simple.
Don't worry, Donny. My hackers are your hackers.
Now, that's the sweetest thing anyone's ever said to me. I love you, Pooty.
I love you, Donny.
Oh, you know what? My national security advisor just walked in and he's waving his hands really fast at me. I think he wants to say hi and congratulate you, too.
Oh, tell him thank you and we'll talk to you soon, Donny.
Will do. Now you hang up.
No, you hang up.
No, you hang up.
No, you hang up.
Pooty.
Donny.
I got to be honest, it sounds authentic to me.
Oh, I think that's fantastic. Yeah.
I don't know. Dave, your thoughts?
I'm a little surprised that you didn't vet it ahead of time. I'm glad you did.
It does sound authentic. You got to admit that.
Yeah.
It's 8:55. CLTV will join us next. If we have time, I have three stories. There's no place else in the show to get them on.
Yes.
So we'll play three things. All coming up, too, in the 9 o'clock hour, plus the bacon's arrived on 720 WGN. don't know if we have time to get this in a couple minutes before 9. Let me give you the three headlines, three things that have no place else on the program. You pick which story you want to hear more about. Yes, parents do play favorites. Parents pick their favorite children.
I knew it.
Story number two. There's a small chance an asteroid will smack into Earth in 2135.
Oh, no.
Story number three. LeBron James spends $1 million per year on his body. Choice?
I say one. I want to hear about parents picking their favorite kid.
I'm going to go with one, too. I want to know what's up with that.
Yeah. I'm a little afraid of it.
Well, which one? You want one?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not
me. With it. Let's go with it.
Yeah, Joe? Both of us in the booth want number one.
Yeah.
Parents play favorites with their kids. If you have brothers or sisters, like I have two sisters and a brother, there's probably a point in your youth when you spend significant time saying, Mom likes you best. No, Mom likes you best. Now, you're an only child, so you never had these.
That's why I like this story, because I'm going to ask all of you which kid of your kids.
Do you think you were your mom's favorite?
I know I was, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Parents, according to a new study, do in fact have a favorite, and it's not limited to, oh, this day it's this one because they're making me less crazy.
You have to have a favorite.
The favorite, according to a study of 1,185 grandparents, 1,185 parents, 1,111 grandparents, 23% of parents, 42% of grandparents admitted they do have a favorite. For parents, it tends to be
the oldest.
Incorrect.
Mm.
The youngest.
Oh,
what?
The youngest of the kids.
That's wow. just a perception.
Is that because they've been around the least amount of time to make you nuts?
That's where everybody thinks they're the baby and they get away with more.
They get
the
away.
Baby needs to be taken care of.
My dad was the youngest of five, and all of his sisters say that he was the favorite. He says absolutely not.
You just get away
with
a lot. Well,
the ones that were the youngest never say they were the favorite.
Of course, yeah.
I was the youngest until I connected with my birth family, and then I became the oldest. So I was the youngest and the oldest.
So you probably have a better perception.
Oh, my sisters swear that I'm the favorite. And you know what I tell them? I'm going to tell Mom if you keep saying that.
So, all right, come on, fess up. Favorite kids?
My kids?
Favorite kids?
You know, no, they literally are. This is going to annoy you. They literally are equal on every ground for completely different reasons.
Okay.
Yeah. Same here.
Oh,
good answer.
We each have two. Well, we each have two.
That's such a lie. Who will tell the truth? Probably Mary Sandberg.
Sandberg, you have two beautiful stepkids. Which one's your favorite?
Right now, Patrick is easier.
Okay.
So he's currently the favorite.
Yeah.
Because Catherine is the teenager, you know.
But, see? Honesty, right there.
But the other night, she was FaceTiming with her dad, and she was defending me, and then I said right when we hung up, she's my favorite right now.
Right.
So see, it fluctuates.
So it fluctuates, but at least you pick.
And usually by default, though, I do go with the girl. So, like, Amy Cochran's my favorite of your kids because she's the girl.
She's the girl. Lindsay would be the favorite.
Yep. Yeah. So that's how I work. And I know I'm the favorite, so...
See?
I'm good at sensing who the
favorite is. Well, plus your sister says that all the time.
Total honesty.
So I've heard it my whole life, so I'm comfortable with that role.
Now, Mary Vanderbilt's like an Osmond. You have 48 kids, so how do you know which one's a favorite?
I only have three kids.
Which one's your favorite?
It depends on the day. It really does.
You guys, that's your cop-out.
It's true,
I know you all have a favorite. I'm going to out all of you and say what's your favorite.
I can tell you now, when your kids get old enough to move out, the favorite is the one that contacts you the most.
Or the one that
still
the one that contacts you the least sometimes. Causes you the least amount of headaches.
I think parents understand this. I love my kids and favorite my kids equally, but for different reasons. They're different people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So.
I'd like to ask them which one is the favorite, the mom or the dad.
Oh,
that's a good
as a
one.
Kid, which one's your favorite parent?
Uh-huh.
At breakfast, it's like they're rationing it. Here's your two strips of bacon.
I want more! More bacon!
Whenever you're at a brunch buffet and you see that big metal tray filled with 4,000 pieces of bacon, don't you almost expect a rainbow to be coming out of it?
I found it! I found the source of all bacon!
That bacon tray is always at the end of the buffet. You regret all the stuff on your plate.
What am I doing with all this worthless fruit? I should have waited. If I had known you were here, I would have waited.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You know, you can tell an honest person if you're in a buffet line, like a brunch buffet line, and they go in and they grab as much bacon as they want. Not the person that goes and goes, I'm just going to have two strips. I'm just going to take the two strips. We know you want more.
Uh-huh.
Good. It's bacon.
God, it's so good.
Bacon fest.
Sir, identify yourself.
My name is Seth Zurer. I am one of three co-founders of Bacon Fest Chicago.
I believe what you mean to say is you're the greatest human being ever created.
Right.
That's correct.
Can you be knighted for that or canonized
should be knighted.
For that?
Forget about Ringo Starr. Yeah. We should have you knighted.
I appreciate that sentiment. Sir Seth Zurer has a certain ring to it.
Let's go back to the dorm room where you three were totally ignoring your work and invented Bacon Fest.
Yes, Bacon Fest was born out of the theater, actually. My two business partners were both musicians, sound designers for theater, went to see a rock and roll puppet musical about beer.
Again, a rock and roll puppet musical.
Not to be confused with
obviously
a
broad rock and roll appeal
musical.
Play.
Yes, exactly. And they went home, were so inspired by how much the writers of that musical loved beer that they thought to themselves, gee, what do we love so much that we would write a musical about it? And the obvious answer?
Bacon.
Bacon.
So they sat down, they started writing songs, and they got really bored really quick. We're like, what if we just had a big party? And they called me and said, we have an idea. It's the Burning Man of Bacon.
It's Bacon Fest
Chicago. What do you think?
The first one was where?
We did the first one in 2009 in the dining room of the Publican restaurant.
Okay, again, the dining room.
It was small.
How many tables?
10 chefs. We had about 100 people, and it was packed to the gills.
And you thought, it's never going to get any better than this. This is unbelievable.
It was like a dream. It was never my wildest dreams.
2010, you go where?
We moved to the UIC Forum.
And now you're going, we're taking a risk here, man. We're putting some money into this thing. Yeah. Is this thing really going to work? Not even knowing full well they had bacon.
Yeah.
You don't know. You don't know till you know.
You don't
sold
know.
Out how fast?
So when we've had sellouts in as few as a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
We expect about 4,500 people at Bacon Fest this year.
Yeah.
4 tons of bacon. 150 restaurants over 3 sessions on April 6th.
And how many people will come through Bacon Fest?
Between 4,000 and 4,500.
It's a little bigger than the Publican dining room.
It is a bit bigger. And, you know, and the nice thing is that we support the Greater Chicago Food Depository out of the proceeds. So this year is our 10th year.
Let's not bog this down with you being a good citizen.
Oh, you're right. I beg your pardon.
Yes.
This is an exercise in moderation.
Right,
you can
right,
pig
right,
out
right,
on bacon
right.
all day long.
Exactly.
Over the years of being the king of all bacon, have you decided you don't like bacon anymore after your exposure to it?
No. In my experience.
Of course not. And why is that?
Because bacon is delicious.
Because it's bacon.
That's right.
Now, aside from having a great smell, as soon as you walk in the USC Forum, there's, as you just said, you know, dozens of restaurants, dozens of chefs. What are some of the most unique recipes that we will see? Or I guess I should say the most unique ways bacon will be used.
Yeah. That's such a good and such a female question.
It is.
How will bacon be used differently?
Yeah.
When a dude just goes, how much can I have?
Right. How many pounds? He brought in a slab for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to cuddle with. Yeah. There is bacon on everything. We'll have, as you see here, we have bacon on donuts, which of course is now a classic combination, bacon on a maple Long John.
Yeah.
But we'll have bacon in salads. We'll have bacon in ramen. We will have bacon in dumplings of all sorts. We will have bacon
mac and cheese.
For sure, in mac and cheese. We'll have deep fried balls of bacon mac and cheese. There's going to be...
I was in a band called Deep Fried Balls of Mac and Cheese.
I love your oof.
Yeah, yeah. Now, here's how good bacon is. The guy you're sitting next to is Dave Bennett, the voice of Northwestern and a legend in Chicago sports broadcasting. Dave is a very healthy guy. Dave is not a vegan, but he is. You're almost completely vegetarian. You'll eat meat occasionally.
Oh no, no, I love
fish occasionally. No! Once a month doesn't count.
Okay, just for the purposes of this conversation.
His only vice,
but he eats very well.
His only vice is drinking. Really,
very well. He's a complete lush. But he eats very, very healthy. He'll make an exception for bacon. Exception for bacon. He loves bacon.
It is the gateway meat.
Everybody loves
the gateway meat.
You're the best cliche.
Yeah, he's not lying. What type of price point are we talking about getting in?
So there are tickets for as little as $60.
That's not enough. You should try
all the way up to $160 for VIP, which gets you in an hour early, as well as giving you access to the Old Forester Speakeasy VIP lounge, where you can sample fine bourbon whiskey.
Oh, so it's like pairing, like bourbon and bacon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that money gets you, that ticket gets you all-inclusive. You get all-you-can-eat bacon-wise, you get up to 7 drinks, you get that inimitable feeling of camaraderie, of being part of the bacon community.
Okay. So many people who have started these sort of great American trends, I think of people like Bill Gates, Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, diversify and maybe stretch too far, yet you have remained focused on bacon. I salute that.
Thank you. My single-minded focus on pork has served me well.
Yes.
Since bacon brings people together, have there been any meetings or engagements.
You mean M-E-A-T?
Yeah, you know, instead of Tinder, you just go to Bacon Fest.
We did try to solicit stories of true love at Bacon Fest. One lady said that she invited her then boyfriend to Bacon Fest, and he responded in a suitably enthusiastic manner, and therefore they are now engaged to be married.
Oh, look what you did.
Yeah. I think it's great that a female wanted to go to Bacon Fest.
Yeah. We have a lot of ladies at Bacon Fest. Bacon is an equal opportunity meat. It's good for everybody.
Yeah, but most women wouldn't want to be there with their husband or boyfriend, you know, because...
Because we want to eat.
Bacon changes us.
Yeah.
It truly does. Dave.
Seth, is there a day that goes by that you don't consume bacon in some form?
Give us your public answer and then your true
answer. Yes, right. From a branding perspective, I actually eat nothing but bacon.
There you go.
I use
the actual truth
as a moisturizing product as well.
Yeah.
The actual truth is I, outside of the day of Bacon Fest when moderation is actually impossible, I eat a relatively moderate quantity of bacon. I include it in pasta sauces.
Ooh.
But I, you know, I like to eat all sorts of, I'm a kind of restaurant foodie guy, so I'm interested in all sorts of interesting achievements in the food world. It just happens that bacon is a place where chefs do their best work.
Yeah, I think bacon should be mandatory on a Sunday morning.
Oh, I agree.
I don't think Sunday should start without bacon. Mm-hmm.
This is America. People can eat what they want, but they should eat more bacon.
Probably. That's exactly there right. Now, go. What did you think of the donut with bacon? And I can tell that you took one bite of the donut and you peeled off the bacon.
I did. Well, here's what I did. Yeah, I took two bites of the donut, which is delicious. I think it's from Fire Cakes. And there's a little bit of a cream, almost like a Bavarian cream on the inside. Mm-hmm. But they cut the, instead of one big long strip, they cut them in small strips on the top. Mm-hmm. And I ate all those first.
Well, it's thoughtful so it's for like, ease of consumption.
Yeah, it's like eating all the sprinkles off. I just ate all the bacon
super
off.
Super artistic of you.
Oops.
And when people ask you about Bacon Fest, what's your favorite story to tell? The party story. The go-to party story.
Oh, boy, that is a good question.
Not my first day.
I mean, I do lean on that origin story of Bacon Fest, which involves a lot more beer in the non-sanitized version of the telling. But you know, Bacon Fest is a good time. Everybody at Bacon Fest is happy. Everybody's eating a ton of bacon and getting drunk on cocktails and beer, and there's no happier place on earth.
And by the way, Kevin Powell, who used to produce this show, of course, is now on with Roe, who will join us before 10 o'clock. Kevin is on you like a barnacle on a boat every year for Bacon Fest.
Well, we are deeply appreciative of his loyalty to Bacon Fest and happy to have him and anyone from WGN Radio as our guest at Bacon Fest.
He doesn't, but he's smart. He doesn't drink because he knows the drunks won't be able to keep up with him when he's going around and getting
That's
the
right.
extra
you
bacon.
You have to be strategic at Bacon Fest because there's 50 restaurants at each session, so you really have to be judicious while
talking
out.
Remember talking about something like bacon and fried cheese or something? Does that ring a bell?
Bacon and fried cheese.
Was it fried cheese or was it...
There's deep-fried mac and cheese balls with bacon in the mac and cheese.
I don't think that was it, though that sounds like it could end wars.
sounds like a Greek dish, like a saganaki, like a flaming cheese with bacon bits on top.
That sounds good. I would eat that.
Yeah, see?
But Kevin had a cheesy bacon story that really made him weep openly.
Yeah.
It does inspire emotional displays and even the most... let's say
strongest people
of facade. Yes,
was it a grilled cheese with bacon, maybe? Like a bacon grilled cheese?
Well, that also is perfectly fair. That actually is, you can exchange U.S. currency for that.
Yeah.
Know, if you want to give somebody a grilled cheese sandwich with bacon on it. Great to see you.
My pleasure.
You're not like you need any help, but what's the website?
BaconFestChicago.com, April 6th and 7th at the UIC Forum. Be there.
And one more time on the website?
BaconFestChicago.com.
Let's go to a random listener who has no affiliation with the show, who we don't know who this is. We've never met him. Kev?
So the dish I was referring to was great. This is what I love about Bacon Fest, because it's all these top chefs, and they incorporate bacon into these creative dishes, but then there's some guy who's just frying bacon, and he's got cheese curds on a pan, it's just bacon sizzling and cheese kind of just all mixed together, and he just throws it on a plate for you. And then there's always some random guy in the corner just simply frying bacon. He's just got a whole bunch of bacon on a pan.
Kevin, your voice is cracking.
You just brought a tear to Seth's eye.
Oh, I'm so proud of what I've created. Kevin, thank you, Kevin.
Kevin, pull over. Do you need a tissue?
Oh, I remember.
I have pulled over. I need bacon.
I remember the first year of Bacon Fest, we gave Kevin opportunity, date a supermodel or get tickets to Bacon Fest, and he went tickets to Bacon Fest. So, Seth, great to see you.
Likewise, Steve.
And when Kevin calls for tickets, lose the number.
Thank you. I will.
Thanks,
thank you, Kev. Fabulous baseball reporter, Kevin Powell. All right, Bacon Fest continues. The love of bacon. We'll just continue to snarf down the bacon donuts here, and we'll come back in just a moment. There's a special call coming in. This is, I don't know who this is, in a moment at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Saturday night, John DeCoste and Mike Toomey from Channel 9, and I will be doing stand-up at the Rouse Center. It is a Blue Thunder White Lightning production.
White Lightning.
Right. So join us Saturday night at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake at 8 o'clock, and we'll have a stand-up comedy good time. So there is a mystery phone call coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure of its origin, but...
it's not the president again, is it?
No, we're having trouble connecting, so it's really becoming more mysterious.
That was pretty cool how you had the Trump-Putin
right,
phone call.
On, please.
God, super cool.
Texters, bacon, the candy of meat. let's see. Is Andrea an only child? Yes, you are.
I
so,
am.
But, you know, I'm still not sure you really are your mom's favorite.
I think I am. But she's got no choice. Maybe not lately, because I haven't seen her in a while.
And one more election judge texting in, just a couple of random texts here. Steve, Joliet, Illinois, only 22% turnout, but we had more youngsters today. Personally thanked each one for voting and for getting the friends out. Wire me a Mava hat. Make America vote again. We'll have some more of those to give away.
That might have been reason that... voter turnout was so... I would say it was pretty good.
Didn't help.
It's not fantastic.
Didn't hurt, I should say.
It's twice what it was last time, which is great.
Right. Up to 31%. Mm-hmm. It's a start.
Yep.
We've got to do a little better, but it's a start.
Yeah.
Are we going to this mystery phone call, or are we not going to this mystery phone call? Let me go live to Super Joe in the producer's booth.
Hello, hello, hello.
Is this happening or not happening?
We're working on it.
All right,
how do you
then.
Feel about it?
Then let's. It's the Steve Cochran Show with this mystery phone call. We finally connected. Yes, mystery caller.
Am I on the air finally?
Yeah, mystery caller. Yes, who is this?
Am I on the air?
That's Mark DiCarlo.
Yeah, it's Mark.
Mark DiCarlo, what an honor to hear from you.
Yeah, happy birthday, Steve.
My birthday was a week ago.
I've been on hold for a week. On hold.
Well, that's a very popular show.
For a week.
I apologize, but it's a very popular show.
Really? The entire city of Chicago has to kneel in fealty to you, and you leave me dangling on hold for a week.
Well, if I knew what kneeling in fealty meant, I'd be more concerned about it. How are you, Mark DiCarlo?
I'm fine, Steve. I just called to wish you.
Yes, I understand.
And Mary said, okay, just hold on for a second.
I understand you've been on hold for a week, but now that you're on the air, I just wanted to say hello. How are you?
I haven't eaten. I have not gone to the bathroom.
Can I make a suggestion? You know who you should talk to? You should seek medical help at this point. I would suggest Dr. Lars Dingman. Are you familiar with his work?
He's a genius, Steve.
Yes, he is. He's the kind of guy, if you Googled him up, you could see podcasts, you could hear podcasts. He might even come to town and do a show.
I'm just trying to call and wish you a happy birthday, and I feel marginalized, Steve.
I feel very badly about that. Let me just say this. Hold on. All right, so let's do this. Do we need a break, or are we going right to the headlines? It's headlines time right now, Dave.
And the headlines are sponsored
by... Mark DiCarlo. Wasn't that nice of him to call?
It's really nice of Mark to call.
Every Wednesday for the rest of the year, we're going to take birthday calls from me. We're going to see how late people can actually call and wish me happy birthday.
That's a great idea.
1 week late.
Thank goodness we got it on time.
Back to you in the middle of the plug. .941 He lost in a landslide last night. Here's Roe Khan. That's just not true at all. I think if you ran, you'd win.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever think about Roe Khan, James? Did you ever think about politics as a career?
Have I ever thought about
ever thought about running for office before you became Roe Khan?
No, I did not.
See, I was always sort of drawn to it. I always thought, maybe. Not anymore.
Well,
I got to say, I'm more inclined now than I would have been 20 years ago because of what's going on in the world. You know, you just kind of feel like... I think there's a little bit of a notion of, well, I could do that, you know, that people have about it. And, you know, I always thought, you know, it was just kind of one of those worlds where, you know, you're judged by everything, every little thing you might have done in the past. And that clearly is no longer the case.
How could it be? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, those days are over.
You hope, you think. I mean, and it was interesting last night, though. To me, what's fascinating, you know, we talk about the big stories. You know, the governor's race and all that, and, you know, it's a billionaire versus a billionaire. But to me, the biggest story last night was what happened at the assessor's office. You got the guy who was the sitting chairman of the Cook County Democratic Party losing in a Democratic primary, not just losing, getting demolished
right.
in the primary, where there was hijinks. There was hijinks.
Yeah, and those hijinks may or may not turn out to be a legal issue, but Berrios goes away, presuming the results hold. What do we know about this Fritz Kagi guy?
Not much. All he knows, he's not Joe Berrios. He's a successful guy. He's a successful, he's in the business of real estate appraisal. So that's why he wanted to be in the, to go do this. And he said, you know, he wants to be a good government guy. Most people I know who've been in Cook County government, I would not describe them as good government guys, except for a handful. I mean, there's a couple, Sheriff Dart, I think, is one of them.
So but do I.
I don't think that there are a ton of guys who fit that bill. But last night was one of those things where a lot of these people are, gone. And it's going to be, there's a new sheriff in town. And did you realize, I learned this last night. Tony Preckwinkle is 71 years old.
I did know that. The only reason I knew that is, I don't know if you remember this, one of the first times she came on this show, I upset her, and she yelled at me. And then she kept yelling at me, and I said, we don't yell on this show. I don't do that kind of show where you try to out-yell me, and if you keep yelling, I'm going to put you on hold. And she kept yelling, and I put her on hold.
I literally
put her on hold. That didn't go over so well.
No.
We made up afterwards, and she's been on several times. But in the course of that, just in looking at her bio and her notes, yeah, I didn't know that until then. But yeah, I was aware of that.
Yeah, 71. And she's a former Catholic school teacher, too. Mm-hmm. So that tells you that she's used to controlling the classroom.
Well, she hit me with a ruler. So it all comes full circle.
But we do that, too. That's just totally different.
Yeah, sometimes only if I ask. All right. So just running through last night, and I know you're going to do this on your own show this afternoon at 3 to 4 on CLTV. And hi to CLTV this morning. The reason you can't see Roe is he's in his underpants at his own house.
Damn right.
The governor's race, I was surprised Pritzker won by as much as he did. I was surprised Rauner won by as much as he did. What about you?
Well, I think that the going to the J.B. Pritzker race, I saw numbers that from a poll that ended on Saturday that had Kennedy within a few points of him and surging toward him. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, that is weird. When I started to see the numbers come in last night, I'm like, how is this even possible? That there must be some Chicago districts and precincts that are not reporting at this point, because he was always behind by a significant margin, Kennedy was. And then Biss was actually doing better than Kennedy. And I'm like, that's not what any of this polling showed. And I know that people go, well, you know, polling doesn't count. Nobody, there's pretty good science behind polling. And actually, the late polling in the Jeannie Ives-Bruce Rauner race, I don't know why I just put her first, but I did. She was pretty much where they are there, and that was he basically got a little scare put into him. But let's face it, he was never going to play well with the Trump voter conservative that exists now, at least the Republican Trump voter conservative. There's independents. I can't imagine they were going over to J.B. Pritzker, but who knows? I think those people may have just stayed home.
The striking part, though, about the amount of votes she got is, if she doesn't run the terrible TV commercial, maybe she wins. And if and she didn't, but that means there's 350,000 conservative voters in this state who are really mad at Bruce Rauner.
Yeah, well, I think the opposite is true. I think if she doesn't run that commercial, no one knows who she is.
Well, no, that's a fair point as far as notoriety goes, but it was received in such a negative way. By way of your argument, that would mean those are 350,000 no votes to Rauner, not yes votes to Jeannie Ives.
I think some of them would have come over to Rauner because he's the Republican, and I think some of them would have just not known. They just wouldn't have showed up. I mean, she drew some people out that wouldn't normally come out. All right, here's the number that you have to look at for this, and then we'll move off all the wonkiness. But the reality is that if you take Rauner's total votes and Ives' total votes, the total number is about 650,000, 700, maybe. Yep. Andre has that. And Pritzker alone in a really crowded field at the end of the day here, right? And when you stop and you think about it, a three-way split, essentially,
yep,
had about 600,000 votes. So if Democrats come out and are as passionate as they were to come out and vote in this primary, and this wasn't even a big turnout, this is going to be... This is very, very bad news for Rauner, very good news for Pritzker, because he basically almost got as many votes as the Republicans did combined.
But here's the thing that Pritzker's going to have to get over. You need more of a message other than that guy sucks, and you can't just say I'm going to do this and the 48 other things he said, unless you tell a broke state how you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
But why bring specifics up at a time like this?
Who would do something like that? And then you ask, why aren't you interested in politics? Because specifics don't sell, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. It was really interesting to watch the two of them last night as they got both, animated. The general election started a year ago, right? These two were... It worked out perfectly because they already had scripts written for the other guy. Let me tell you something. If Jeannie Ives had won, J.B. Pritzker would have been, I don't know, what do I say? Who is
right.
she? What do
right.
I say about her?
Right, right, right.
And the other way around, too. If Kennedy, had won, obviously Kennedy wasn't even in play, which is really, 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 really a shocker because people were talking about him. My mother, okay, let me just, as by way of example, my mother, who is, she goes, I like that Donald Trump a lot. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy with this, what's her name, Cookie? The one there's a woman in the movies. Kind of got this whole thing going right
Cookie.
Now.
Oh, that's cute.
It's just kind of crazy, all these things that are going on with him. Mm-hmm. And then she says, I think I'm going to vote for Kennedy. How do I do that?
There you go.
Yeah.
I like those people.
Well, there you go.
Camelot.
Right. From 50 years ago, right?
Yeah,
and I said, well, you have to go get a Democratic, ballot. Seems like a lot of work, this was a kind of a thing. Cute is not the word I would use, Andrea, but whatever, it is what it is. And it was interesting because even there's that type of voter, and she's not a low information voter. She watches Fox News all day long, but all of a sudden. When it comes down to these local races, and I think there's a little bit of the haze that happens here now because we spend so much time watching national stuff on cable networks that it comes down to local races. I don't think there's as much connectivity to what that means to what's going on in Washington.
The picture of Stormy Daniels taking the lie detector test looks like a promotional still from a horror movie.
Right.
We were thinking it was a little bit more like bondage porn. Is what it looks like.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, we saw that come out last, and we're like, oh my God. It's like, it's another way to keep them in the news, though, because that, they knew that picture was going to make the cycle. And then did you see her attorney was on CNN last night? They were on with Anderson, and they had another attorney basically a surrogate for Trump and for Michael Cohen, and they let them go for like 30 minutes. Screaming at each other, showing pictures, yelling at each other. This is a sideshow. When people want to make this into a big deal, it's not. America does not care.
But here's the thing about America does not care. The president of the United States is being implicated with facts about being a serial philanderer. Okay, that doesn't matter. But possibly also using campaign funds to pay to cover it up and other criminal violations involving his attorney. And you know what that is? You tell people that. You're not wrong, Ro, but you tell people that. You know what the response is? Yes, and...
Right. Right. Exactly. That's the point. That's the point.
And, or I mean, they bring up Bill Clinton.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But... Yeah,
but
Yeah, but they Bill Clinton was impeached.
Right.
I mean, do people not remember that? Nothing ever happened to Bill Clinton. Really? Were you there when they did? You know, true. Ken Starr true. Was. Do yeah. you remember that? He got impeached. They had to stand trial.
Yeah, and I think the slogan for the Trump remaining of the Trump years is going to be "Give it time," because Mueller's right around the corner, and he's not happy.
Well, that's a separate issue. I mean, that to me seems like a bigger deal. And the biggest story of the week, and it's so complicated, it's so hard to understand, and we have to wrap our brain around what's happened to us as a society is the. Is the Cambridge Analytica story,
yeah,
because this
exactly.
isn't just about politics. This is about how we privacy. Are being right, being brainwashed by our own social media.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I probably shouldn't have done this, but I did. I had Facebook send me all of Rose information. Yeah, and I don't know that I'm ever going to be right again.
hey, let me tell you, you think that's Stormy Daniels, nay Cookie?
Yeah.
You think that picture is going to blow your mind? You just wait to see what's
on my social lie detector pictures that he's got up there.
Oh, God.
Once again. 3 o'clock today, more on running down last night and whatever else is happening.
Thank you.
See you, buddy.
720 WGN.
I've been stuck in motion. Moving too fast.
9:56. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for listening every day. Appreciate your support. Go out today and tell 25 people you should listen to the Steve Cochran Show. That would make me happy. Bill F. is here. And Bill, what would you like to plug on your broadcast today, today's broadcast?
I just want to tell you, Steve, and everybody listening, get out there and vote. It's a very important day. Get out there. Every vote counts.
Do you think the power of the Make America Vote Again hats could drive the city up to 31% voting?
I'm sure. I'm positive of that.
I think it got it up past what it would have been.
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't hurt. Sure, it didn't hurt.
Did we? It was almost double what it was last time, mm-hmm. right?
Up 94% in Cook County and up 65% in the state.
That's really excellent. See what happens today in the late voting period begins.
Yep. That's where it gets crazy.
We had a texter bring up yesterday, and they were very sincere when they brought this up. Said, well, we got early voting. Why can't we have late voting for people that forgot?
Don't they call that Greek voting?
Hey, we're fashionably late.
Right. That's right. I heard somebody this morning say to you that you should run for office, that they would vote for you. A caller said that.
Yes. And I said, okay, which office? And they said, let me call you back. Said I hadn't thought it all the way through.
Right. What's wrong with that?
You do run for your office some days after the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah, sure.
That
I may do it today.
As something. You know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about there have been some allegations made about the late Robin Williams and mm-hmm. his behavior on the set of Mork and Mindy. And Pam Dauber, who played Mindy, has some interesting comments about that.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know the story. I'll be asking you about it during the break.
All right. That's fine. That's fine.
Will Wendy be joining you?
You never know.
Bill and Wendy next. Maybe. Stand by for that.
Maybe.
Bill and Wendy right now.